Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back to another episode of The Savage Truth. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Super excited to be with you. I know I say that all the time, and every time I record, I'm super excited to be with you. Thank you so very much for making the decision to sit down, sit back, relax, join in on the conversation, and listen, have an opinion, right? For your viewing pleasure, it is my honor to be with you. If you're brand new to the show, congratulations for making such a smart and good decision. It's rooted in intelligence. Thank you so very much. You know what? Enjoy the conversation. Come on back, tell someone else about the show, and come back next week. I appreciate you so very much. And especially for those of you who are the loyalists, the ride or dies, you tune in every week, you're faithful. I appreciate you. You are the reason that I do this, and I'm truly grateful for your viewership. Now, whether you're new or returning, there is an ask. Yes, and it is always this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into it, because we are dealing with, again, The View. Whoopi Goldberg. So apparently Whoopi Goldberg thinks that being Black in America is the same as being a woman under Iran's theocratic nightmares. Yes, that Iran, the one where women are beaten for showing their hair, you know, and your girl's struggling today with the humidity, but they're literally beaten for showing their hair, can't leave the house without permission, and are executed for protesting. She says that's what being Black in America is like. Meanwhile, Whoopi is collecting daytime TV checks, broadcasting nonsense from a multi-million dollar studio, sipping Starbucks, and pretending she's living under Ayatollah rule. Okay? It's not oppression. It's a performance. It's all performative. We all know this at this point. It's what we expect every time she opens her mouth. Didn't she play a great hyena in Lion King, though? I mean, wasn't she good at that? And lucky for her, she gets paid handsomely to confuse the two on national television. Bill Maher, who is no stranger to skewering his own side. Okay, that's what he does. Keep in mind, folks, I know that he's been kind of logical lately, last year or so, but he is not our friend. He wasn't having it, however. In a rare moment of clarity from the left, he called the Democrats to take the next logical step after the New York Times finally hinted at some common sense on gender issues. He says, shut down the intellectual black hole known as The View. And he wasn't referring to Whoopi. Yes, I said that joke and I'm keeping it. Okay. And let's be honest, I'm in that position. I get to do that. Okay. But hey, he's right. That's a savage truth in this moment. Rick, roll the video.
What did you think of Whoopi Goldberg saying it's worse to be a Black person in America today than a woman in Iran? I say we were talking about the trans issue before, and the New York Times really has come over on that to the sort of the sensible, liberal, not crazy woke position. I think this is great first step toward getting the Democrats back to sanity. And a second good step would be, we got to do something about The View. I really believe that. I mean, could you just
it's huge in Iran, though.
So that show, The View, is what I'm referring to, is where logic goes to die, where facts are optional and historical comparisons are made by people who couldn't pass a ninth grade civics quiz. Okay, you want to talk about misinformation? It's not on Twitter. It's airing daily at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Enter Representative Wesley Hunt. Love him. God, I need to try to get him on the show. Who sat next to Bill Maher, looking like the only adult in the room, sounding like the only adult in the room, a Black Republican from Texas, a Black Republican in general. Just, you know, just beautiful, a beautiful spirit, a beautiful soul, sitting right next there, next to Bill Maher on the show. But he's from Texas. Yes, those do exist, right? Black Republicans, okay? Despite what The View believes, Hunt hammered the ridiculousness of comparing one of the freest most opportunity-rich nations on Earth, I would say the richest, most opportunity-rich nation on Earth, to a country where human rights are a punchline. Now, it's the kind of absurdity that makes you wonder, are these women serious? Are they? I really actually asked that. Are they serious, or is it all just performance arts for clicks and claps? I mean, they've got to be, they can't possibly be this numb from the neck up. Either way, the comparison is not only dishonest, it's insulting. It's exhausting listening to them. It's exhausting. I don't actually watch the show, but I see the highlights. It's exhausting just looking at the reels and the shorts and reading about it. Okay. It's insulting, not to the audience, but to the very people actually suffering under real tyranny. And let me give you a hint here. I'm not referring to Black Americans. Okay. I'm talking about people who actually suffer under real tyranny. And then, bless his spine, Representative Wesley Hunt stepped up and dropped a truth bomb so big it probably triggered half the staff over at The View. With grace, facts, and experience, not theoretical oppression studies, Hunt dismantled Whoopi's fantasy land in under 60 seconds under Bill Maher show. He explained that he proudly represents a majority white district in Texas. That's white people, folks. White people, white voters, majority white, opposite of him, the kind President Trump would have steamrolled by 25%. And yet, this same district elected him, a Black conservative man, Black. And I'm not talking like Mariah Carey Black. I mean, you can't mistake this man for Black. Like, you can't mistake me for Black, right? A Black conservative man. He's a descendant of slaves, great-great-grandfather born on Rosedown Plantation, but clearly that part doesn't fit the oppression narrative. So Whoopi probably tuned it out somewhere between her second latte and third victim monologue. Rick, roll the footage.
My district in the great state of Texas is actually a white majority district that President Trump would have won by 25 points. As I said, I'm a direct descendant of a slave. My great-great-grandfather was born on Rosedown Plantation. I am literally being judged not by the color of my skin, but by the content of my character. That's the progress because, like, a lot of white people had to vote for me. A lot.
So wait, are you
so saying? I don't even ever want to hear Whoopi Goldberg's conversation about how it's worse to be Black in America That's a bit far. And my father, who's 75 years old, he was a man that was in the French Quarter that had to go get a sandwich to the back door of the building. And his son is now a United States congressman in a white majority district in Texas as a Republican. That is America. That's America.
Now, we need to pause there because Hunt said what should have ended the conversation. I'm literally, this is what he said, and you saw the video. I'm literally being judged not by the color of my skin, but by the content of my character. Isn't this what we all went through all that mayhem and chaos for back in the day before I was born? Right? Isn't that what we went by? Didn't we believe Martin Luther King when he said that? Didn't that sound great? Weren't we all clapping for that? Sound familiar? That's called actual progress, people. It's called actual progress. Now, I'm not yelling at you because you're on my side, but maybe you have some, you know, Democrat-leaning relatives or friends, and you can point them to this episode or at least explain that to them, okay? That's called America working. And yes, Whoopi, it's possible today, not in some imaginary utopia that only exists if you ignore every success story that doesn't vote Democrat. You want real injustice? Look at Iran, where women are killed for dancing in the streets. You can't twerk in the streets in Iran, you get killed. Okay. Not Houston, Texas, where a Black Republican is thriving in a Trump heavy district. But nuance doesn't sell outrage. And Whoopi's built her career on one thing and one thing only playing the same tired tune on the violin of victimhood. And it's about this big. Hunt finished with a mic drop so clear it should be framed. So I don't ever want to hear, as he says, I don't ever want to hear Whoopi Goldberg's conversation about how it's worse to be Black in America right now. Boom. That's not just a rebuttal. That's a national reality check for these Democrat-leaning, chaotic, divisive people. Okay? If you're still clinging to the nothing's changed narrative in the face of living, breathing proof of American opportunity, then maybe it's not the country that needs fixing. It's your worldview. Maybe the real oppression is being stuck on a show where truth goes to die and common sense never had a seat at the table. How about that? Now, let's move on. Let's talk about Mark Cuban. So hard sometimes, Rick, to talk about these people, but I have to report. I gotta give it to the people. We gotta kind of break this stuff down. Mark Cuban, isn't this rich? I mean, literally rich. Now, according to Mark Cuban himself, Kamala Harris's team allegedly approached him in the past about being vetted for vice president. Oh my gosh. I think, Rick, we might, when we're setting up for the show, we might want to include like a little bit of a barf bag, because there are times when I go back to this stuff and I'm seriously, I get nauseous. But yes, folks, you heard me right. Kamala was still clinging to the VP seat like a TikTok intern at a White House briefing. Her own people were apparently out there auditioning billionaires like it was a casting call for Veep. Now, mind you, after they didn't make it across the finish line, they hated billionaires, and yet they were interviewing billionaires to be vice president. This is interesting. And who did they tap? None other than Mark Cuban, the guy who made his fortune on dot-com hype and now moonlights as the progressive uncle at Thanksgiving who lectures you on income equality between wine tastings. Now, if this story's true, it proves one thing and one thing only. Even her own team seemed to know the Kamala Harris experiment had expired like a carton of oat milk in August. Okay, let's just take a moment here. Kamala Harris once built the historic, the trailblazing future of the party was allegedly so unpopular, so ineffective that Team Harris, oh, that'll make my dog bark. That Team Harris, all right, that's enough. I know it's upsetting, bud. It's upsetting. I know that Team Harris went window shopping for a shiny new VP with a fan base and a balance sheet. And Mark Cuban, God bless him. I mean, it's not his fault. Was the best idea on the board? Really? That wasn't vetting. That's a political panic shopping. That's what that is. Cuban made no business, but he's not exactly the poster child for relatable leadership. And honestly, Savage, truthfully, if this was the Democrat backup plan, it's no wonder voters were kind of sprinting towards anything resembling competency. Just imagine the Democrat strategy meeting. Well, Kamala's approval numbers are lower than airline peanuts. Hey, anyone called a billionaire who owns, anyone know a billionaire who owns a basketball team? Let's choose him. Peak 21st century politics, folks, where optics rules, principles drool, and the VP shortlist reads like Forbes Gala RSVP. My goodness, they wanted Mark Cuban for vice president of the United States. I truly enjoy this show. We need to talk about AI because, in all seriousness, AI is indeed killing our schools. It's killing academia, folks. You know, there was a time when schools were places where young minds were trained to think critically, write clearly, and wrestle with complex ideas. That's what school represented. Today, public education is being bulldozed by artificial intelligence faster than most administrators even realize. Students are outsourcing not just their homework, but their entire intellectual development to AI tools like ChatGPT. Why struggle through writing an essay or solving a problem when you can copy-paste a prompt and let a machine do the thinking for you? That is the mindset that we're dealing. That's what we're up against right now. What we're seeing in public schools isn't just laziness. It's a full-on collapse of the academic work ethic. That is what's dying here. And that's scary. It's scary for our future. It's scary for intellectual mind. It's scary for human development. Kids are turning in A-plus papers without understanding a single word of what they wrote, quote unquote, wrote. The result is a generation fluent in shortcuts, but illiterate in actual knowledge, in actual competency. And being able to actually have a logical, rational conversation. And let's not pretend college campuses are any better. If anything, I would say they're worse. Universities, which used to demand rigorous academic integrity, are quietly allowing AI to become the invisible hand behind the papers, the lab reports, and even graduate theses. Professors are overwhelmed. They are. They don't know what to do. Institutions are behind the curve, and students are gaining the system with ease. We're handing out degrees to people who couldn't articulate their own arguments in a face-to-face conversation or interview if their tuition depended on it. And guess what? Employers are starting to notice. Now, when graduates can't write a coherent email or solve basic problems without a chatbot, we've got a national crisis on our hands, folks. That's why AI detection tools aren't just useful. They are absolutely necessary at this point. This thing is kind of getting out of hand. We need to draw a hard line between learning with technology and letting technology do the learning. There is the distinction. Academic success means nothing without true comprehension and original thought and being able to articulate that. Okay, America doesn't need more credentialed minds with artificial intelligence. It needs real intelligence. The stakes are too high to ignore this. If we let machines do all the thinking, we'll raise a generation incapable of leadership, incapable of innovation, or even basic civic literacy. AI will die with us. AI will die with this generation because they actually won't be smart enough to even think of innovation such as AI. Okay, that's the conundrum there. AI may be smart, but relying on it blindly is the fastest way to raise a nation of fools who don't know what they believe because they never had to think in the first place. And that is the savage truth. Now let's take a moment to look at some savage citizens doing good for another citizen in need. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.